The beautiful Zion National Park, located southwest Utah, is among the most visited national parks in the United States. As the sun crests over the ridge in the morning and as it dips below in the evenings, the red rocks bloom with color as each new layer is illuminated. In contrast, the rich green from the trees and foliage blanket the canyon floors, creating a welcoming that you cannot deny as it draws you in. Fresh, flowing water from the Virgin River and birds singing gives a background noise so peaceful it is hard to hold in your own smile. Yet, Mother Nature will playfully sink her claws into you before you have time to notice. Flooding and rockfall are common occurrences and often shut trails down. The narrows are a common site for drownings, and some trails are closed long term due to the damage sustained from the ground giving way. Mother Nature is a force. Yet we risk our lives for the views at Angel's Landing, and it is often by our own accord that death comes knocking. Welcome to Tragedy with a View.
Just get it out. Isn't it? I learned that from my class.
The beautiful Zion
Wait,
National
wait,
Park.
now I have to do it again because you laughed.
So, Zion National Park was officially made a national park on November 19th of 1919 when President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill into law establishing the park. Prior to this, Zion was called Miyakantuwa National Monument, which is believed to mean
Mia cut you up.
that, okay, fair.
Okay.
it is believed to mean straight canyon or straight river. And this monument was established in 1909 by President William Howard Taft. In the 1920s, construction began on the major trails we see in Zion today. In 1916, Angel's Landing got its name from Reverend Frederick Vining Fisher, who stated that it looked like only an angel could land on it. Angel's Landing was finished in 1926 after the East Rim Trail was completed. Angel's Landing is about 5 miles out and back. There is a 1,500 foot of elevation gain, and it is considered a strenuous hike. Typically, it takes 3 to 5 hours to complete this hike. In 1985, improvements were made to the trail, adding concrete blocks to Walters Wiggles to help reduce the impact from visitors and erosion. And to get these concrete blocks in, it took 258 helicopter flights, hauling in 88 cubic yards of concrete, and then mules were used to haul it up the switchbacks.
Sounds rough.
That sounds,
Feel bad for those mules.
yeah. Currently, to complete Angel's Landing, you need to have a permit, which you must apply for ahead of time. If you do not have the permit, you can still climb up to Scout's Landing. However, you cannot go onto the chain section. To begin the journey to Angel's Landing, there is a slight uphill on a wide paved path for the first 2 miles, which then pulls you into your first set of switchbacks. Once you get to the top of those, you will have a wonderful reprieve as you hike through Refrigerator Canyon, which truly is, I think, the nicest part. It
Beautiful
was beautiful.
and nice and cool.
It is, and it is the only shade available on the hike. You then will enter 21 more switchbacks, which are known as Walters Wiggles. People always say that once you get to walk Walters Wiggles, you are almost there, and this, as someone who has hiked it, does not seem accurate.
I mean,
Walter, like, are you almost there?
Walter's Wiggles in itself is pretty rough.
It
So it's
is.
very, it's a lot.
It's a lot of incline over a short period,
It is.
and you're going back and forth. And if you're like us, we didn't bring enough snacks, so
Not enough cookies.
not enough cookies. Walter's Wiggles leads you to Scout's Lookout, which means from here, you now have a 500 foot climb to get to the Angel's Landing summit. To begin, the chain section isn't very steep and it doesn't seem dangerous, but by the middle of the section, it begins to get sketchy. The trail narrows to just a few feet wide, with drop-offs on either side. You have to scramble up and down boulders, and then you have to go up a steep incline to reach the summit. And then once you get up there, you have to return back down. With the sheer volume of people who tackle this hike daily, it is hard to believe that there aren't more accidents. Since the year 2000, there have been somewhere between 14 and 17 reported deaths, depending on who you ask or where you look. I also saw an article that claimed that an average of two people died each year, but I actually went and looked at the National Parks incident reports, and that is not factual number unless they are just going unreported. Either way, it's likely going to be found.
That doesn't seem believable because the time we were there, somebody went missing and like everybody knew about it. So
Right.
like I'd have a hard time believing that they're just like, oh, too bad for Jimmy.
Yeah. So I don't think that that's an accurate number, but it is floating around out there. I have compiled a list of the reported falls.
Well, I would like to give a disclaimer to our audience that Angel's Landing and Scout's Lookout is a wonderful view. We've been there, so don't let the following morbid events stop you from going. End rant. Continue.
To expand, it is beautiful. It is a worthwhile hike. You do not have to go all the way up to Angel's Landing to get a gorgeous view. You can stop at Scout's Lookout, which is significantly safer. And beyond that, since 1987, I was only able to find 16 reported deaths. So that number is not very high. That's
In
less than one per
comparison to how
year.
many people go on it, it's not very
It's not high at all.
But we're about to talk about them.
So we're going to talk about the people who have died. And actually, I included as well a few more high-risk rescues that had to take place as well. So not all of these people died. To begin, in May of 1987, a woman from Denver, Colorado lost her footing and fell 250 feet in the final section of Angel's Landing. It is theorized that she tripped on the long dress that she was hiking in while with her husband and two others.
Whoa.
So don't hike in a long dress. Pack it.
Hot tip.
Pack it with you. You can change once you're up there. Don't climb in it. In April 1989, Jeffrey Dwyer, who was 28 years old of Idaho, was found on a ledge. His death is labeled as suspicious due to the large amount of blood that was found at the top. It is unclear if it was suicide, homicide, or an accident, as hikers found his backpack with blood on it, as well as a large pool of blood nearby that backpack. These two hikers reported it to a ranger, and after an investigation, they discovered that Jeffrey was actually with two others. On this hike, they did not realize that he had gone missing. The preliminary autopsy showed no foul play. However, I don't think that they actually got like a conclusive conclusion to his death, other than he died due to the fall.
Well, I mean, he was bleeding beforehand, so something happened to
Yeah,
him.
but I mean, it could have been something like he tripped and fell and hit his head and started bleeding and might have been just close enough to the edge that his body
Disorient.
just went. In January of 1997, John Christensen, who was 36 years old, was rock climbing the face of Angel's Landing when one of his two ropes slipped out of his rappel device while he was descending, and it caused him to fall about 800 feet. He was climbing during one of the heaviest snowstorms to strike the park. He was climbing alone, and it is believed that he reached the summit and then decided to rappel down instead of hiking the trail down, which, again, it was during one of the heaviest snowstorms to strike the park, and I don't think there was a good or like clearly a good option for him to get out of the elements.
Well, I think that's an interesting point that we had discussed earlier, is that a lot more people get injured on the way down than on the way up. So, interesting fact.
When you're rock climbing. That's specific to rock climbing. In August of 2000, George Sender, who was 63 and visiting from Germany, wandered off of the main trail, fell 10 to 15 feet, and struck his head. There were medical professionals there, including a Swiss doctor who began to provide medical attention. Despite their best efforts on the trail, George passed away and his body was removed by a helicopter.
So that story is actually interesting, is like, just to, I feel like that story just shows you how many different types of people go there, like German and Swiss. Like, I'm pretty sure we heard like 10 or 15 different languages just like walking around. Like, everyone in the world comes and visits this park.
Yeah,
It's like,
it is. So I think one of the reasons why it's not the most visited park in the United States is because it's not as large as Yellowstone or the Great Smoky Mountains that have like several entrances all throughout the park. Their quote unquote attractions are not as voluminous as some of the others. Like you have the Narrows, you have Angel's Landing, you have Observation Point, which you can't get to
right now.
legally. Okay. In July 2001, a call was made to the park stating that a man had fallen 20 feet and was unconscious. Park responders reached the 18-year-old an hour later. He had clearly struck his head and was still unconscious when medics reached him. He was stabilized on scene and then evacuated to the hospital
Oh, someone didn't die.
where he did not die. In April of 2002, a rescue mission was performed when two climbers, both from Wyoming, became distressed. One of the climbers had fallen about 20 feet, injuring his head and back. Other climbers could hear him calling for help, but because he was 500 feet below the summit of Angel's Landing, rescue personnel could not verbally communicate with him. This is still known as one of the most technical rescues in Angel's Landing, seeing as they had to rappel down 500 feet to the man and then lower him another 900 feet to the base of Angel's Landing. Dorothy Kaiser, 66 of California, fell 900 feet in January of 2003. However, there is speculation that her death was actually a suicide because it was found that she had a terminal illness.
One way to go, I guess.
If you're gonna die, make it pretty on the way down.
I guess.
I used to say that about skydiving because I said I would only go skydiving and add like a sunset skydive because if I was gonna die, I wanted it to be pretty.
Okay. Well, if you ever ask us to go skydiving,
In August of 2003, a woman fell about 10 feet and then suffered from intermittent unconsciousness as well as head and arm injuries. She was short-hauled from the trail to a waiting ambulance where she did not die.
yay, 2 points for humanity.
In June 2004, Christopher Jones, who was 14 of California and a Boy Scout, died when he tried to scratch his name into the side of a cliff as a $5 bet with some of the other boys. His mother would go on to file a lawsuit of negligence for the lack of proper planning and clearly not having enough adult supervision.
This was a Boy Scout event.
The suit was filed against the Boy Scouts of America, the Utah National Park Council and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay. Did she win?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I did not look it up. That's one thing that I did not look up. But the article that I read didn't say anything about it. In August of 2006, Bernadette Vandermeer, 29, of Nevada, fell over 1,000 feet while hiking with her husband. Her husband was the one who called 911 to report her fall. In June of 2007, Barry Goldstein, who was 53 and from Missouri, fell in the chain section of Angel's Landing. Witnesses say he was descending the trail and goofing off near the edge when the ground crumbled beneath his feet and he fell several hundred feet to his death. Barry was one of three deaths in the park within the same week. He was the only one who fell from Angel's Landing.
In the same week. What happened that week?
I believe someone else had a heart attack and the third person fell from a different trail or point. I don't remember off the top of my head. It wasn't one of the ones that is like super popular though. In August 2009, Nancy Maltese, 55, of California, was hiking with her family when she fell over 1,000 feet off the north side of Angel's Landing. Two climbers were coming up the face of Angel's Landing, were a witness to the fall, and said that Nancy fell dangerously close to their porta ledge, which is like a. You can create a ledge as you're climbing to like as a re like a resting spot or.
For like rock climbing?
Yes, they
Oh.
were climbing up the face.
Oh, is that that's one of those like
Yeah. Tammy Grunig, 50 years old of Idaho, also fell off of the north side of Angel's Landing in November of 2009. So those were two falls in 4 months, both off the north side of Angel's Landing. Regine Milobetsky, who was 63 years old and lived in California, fell 1,000 feet to his death from Scout Lookout in April 2010. I'm going to butcher this next name. In 2013, Amada Zamounti was 23 years old, purposefully left the trail about 10 minutes from Scout Lookout, where he then fell 20 to 30 feet. He suffered a head laceration, back pain, and a broken ankle. Rescuers had to stay the night with him before he could be short-hauled the following morning. He is also one that did not die.
Do you know what short-hauled means?
Yes. Do you?
No.
Okay. Short-hauled is where a helicopter will come in. They've got the rope dangling down, and they will either like strap you in to that rope, or they will, if you're in like severe enough condition, they'll use, gosh,
Stretcher.
yeah, a stretcher to strap you into, and they will take you to a spot where either another helicopter, where they can actually physically get you into the helicopter, is waiting, or an ambulance. So the short haul is useful in situations of high elevation where they cannot land a helicopter, but they still need, like, you cannot get off the mountain on your own accord. In March of 2017, Tate Ryan Foligno was 45 years old and visiting from Florida when he fell to the Refrigerator Canyon from just south of Angel's Landing. Hikers found his body the following morning and an investigation began. It was found that his injuries were consistent with a high elevation fall. In February 2018, a 13-year-old girl from Colorado was hiking with her family when she split off from them and then fell into Refrigerator Canyon. Her family asked that her name not be released. In April 2019, Pradeep Beryl Solomon, 35, of Utah, fell from the north side of Angel's Landing. He was alone and was reported missing by his roommate when he did not return home the next day. His body was found at the base of Angel's Landing, and his injuries were consistent with a high elevation fall. In November of 2019, Savannah McTague, who was 19 and from Maine, fell from Angel's Landing. Savannah was employed at the Zion Lodge, and they believe that environmental factors played a role. They did not say what environmental factors, but being it in November, I would assume it was potentially cold and slippery from either rain or snow.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
So do you travel up the south face of Angel's Landing and then north is on the far side?
I think that is something I'll have to look up. In February of 2019, Corbin McMillan fell after leaving the trail. His mother believed that since he did not take a coat with him, he could have become hypothermic and disoriented. His fall was completely unwitnessed, so they don't actually know what happened. In March of 2021, Jason Hartwell, who was 43 of Utah, fell from the summit of Angel's Landing. Witnesses called in the falling person, and his body was later found at the base. And then I have one more story. This person did not die. It is an unreported story, so this could potentially be a made-up story, but I think there's some validity to it, and you'll see why. In March of 2010, David Bavenkoff, his wife and daughter, were working their way up the chain section when they encountered a family of four from California coming down from the summit. So they met on the chain section, and as they met in the widest part of the path, David stopped to allow the family to move past him and then his wife and daughter who were behind him. So as they were going past him, they were holding onto the chain and they were reaching around to the other side of David to grab a hold of the chain before letting go. So they were basically like almost giving him a bear hug to get around him, which is the smart thing to do, I think, when you're on this.
That's what I would do.
This path with a drop off on each side, right? So as they were moving past, their hands never left the chain. When the teenage daughter from the party that was descending went past David, she let go of the chain, stepped to her left, and then they don't know what happened. She was suddenly on the ground and sliding headfirst towards the edge of the cliff. Both the girl's father and David immediately reacted, and each of them jumped towards the girl and grabbed a hold of her legs. David recalls remembering that when he first tried to grab her, his hands kept sliding and he couldn't get a grip on her leg. And they ended up managing to get a hold of her, and the two men stopped her inches away from going over the edge. The girl who fell, her father has a blog, which he later wrote about this incident in his blog, and he faulted David for the fall simply because if he hadn't have been there, she wouldn't have fallen.
Cool.
Which is true, but also she let go.
That's like saying you would still be alive if your murderer didn't exist. It's like that's out of your control. Or you wouldn't have been mauled by a bear if the bear wasn't born.
Well, I mean, it's not even that drastic. It's simply like he was standing there
living his life.
And it's his fault.
People just need someone to blame.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is clearly one of those where he needed to put fault on someone and he didn't want to fault his daughter for letting go of the chain. And then also like coming from someone who has been a teenage girl, I don't know that I would necessarily feel comfortable reaching around a grown man. In that instance, I probably would because
You were scared.
I would rather my life be not at risk. I would rather keep a hold on that chain than get myself out of that really uncomfortable position of being like, oh, excuse me, I'm just gonna wrap my arms around you. Angel's Landing is considered one of the most dangerous hikes in the United States, despite the fact that it is not the highest number of deaths on like one particular area. The fact that it is a sheer cliff of around 1,000 feet or more on both sides of the trail gives your natural fear of heights like a green light to come on, and there's no way to, I guess, organically manage it like you can in rock climbing. You can either put yourself in some sort of corner to kind of get your peripheral vision off of the air around you, or you can like just focus on the wall in front of you. You can keep looking up, whereas when you're on that ridge part of Angel's Landing, the path is only a few feet wide.
It's like you're tightrope walking.
Yeah, your path is only a few feet wide. You have air on both sides. When you look up, you can continue to see air on both sides. It's not just like, it's not the same circumstance. This fear can cause some people to panic. And it can also cause other people to just shut down. So when you're climbing in this area, you're encountering people who are on both sides of the scale of conquering their fear. And I don't necessarily even think it's truly a fear. I think it's just a instinct that keeps you alive. It's projected as fear, but it's keeping you alive. Further, this trail is called a knife edge ridge, where most of the trail is only a few feet wide. There's drop-offs on both sides, and this is where the chain section is, and that's why the chain is there, is to help you, one, keep your balance, and two, give you a sense of security.
A sense of security. Thank you.
And from everything that I've read, the majority of falls do not happen in this area. Instead, it occurs either before or after, where people,
Where they don't have the security anymore.
well, they get too close to the edge.
Where they get overconfident because they had conquered the security section.
Maybe, but the ground crumbles. Is what happens, or what is theorized in a lot of these situations, is that they get too close to the edge. You know, someone decides they want to take a picture for Instagram in 1987, and they're wearing a long dress, and they get too close to the edge, and the ground crumbles, you trip, and there's nothing there to stop you from going. Again, rock falls and rock slides are a very common occurrence in Zion, and there is no doubt that the amount of foot traffic in this area can impact the trail in a negative way. Generally speaking, these parks are meant to give nature a protected area and allow people the opportunity to immerse themselves in this nature and taking action to try to minimize human impact in these places, as well as keeping people safe, is a very careful balancing act that these people in charge weigh every day. And that is the stories that I have about people falling from Angel's Landing. And while I was doing this research, I have one more special fact about the park.
Oh boy.
In 1978, bighorn sheep were locally extinct in Zion National Park due to human encroachment and hunting. So the National Park joined forces with the Utah Department of Wildlife Services and reintroduced 14 bighorn sheep back into the Zion Wilderness, and by 2015, the herd had grown to over 400 sheep.
We saw 14 sheep at least when we were there. It was great. They're
Yeah.
thriving.
They're doing great there.
That's another exciting thing while you're there. Look for bighorn sheep. They're cool.
They are. That's
And
what I
don't fall.
don't fall.
Hold on to the chain.
If you do fall and you survive, tell me about it. Write in. I'll tell your story. All right, that's it. Thanks. When you're walking in the wild, be sure to watch your step. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review to be the first to hear our bi-weekly episodes. Please find and like us at Tragedy with a View on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you have a story of your own that involves the great outdoors, we would love to hear it. Please email tragedywithaview@gmail.com for a chance to have your story featured on a later episode. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time.